Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear viewers, and welcome to the IP Talk Show. We're going to be talking today about the great personality of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, who is a shining example of taqwa, the fourth immaculate and ma'soom imam of the Ahlul Bayt, but unfortunately a personality who many people out there have not given due attention to. And so there's many misconceptions surrounding the honorable personality of Imam Sajjad. Here in the studio today to discuss this topic with me is Sheikh Ali Qumi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
It's great to have you, especially on this auspicious occasion, and I'm really excited to get into this discussion because we're going to be actually going above the kind of traditional outlook of what people generally have or have been holding of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. So this outstanding personality, Imam Sajjad, unfortunately, a lot of people view him, especially after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, they see Imam Sajjad as a person who confined himself to just praying and just mourning. And this is the general outlook. Why is that the case? And what's the reality behind this?
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-a'in al-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, congratulations to you and dear viewers on the wilada and the birth anniversary of the fourth infallible, immaculate and ma'soom Imam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And he's a personality that we can talk about for hours. Your question, which is a very direct question, that when we look at the seerah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and the perception that we have amongst the believers that's kind of famous, they don't seem to match up too well when you look up the books of the history and then the introduction that the Imams have done for themselves. And when you look at what Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has been doing for all his life, especially after the event of Karbala, they don't seem to match up. So I think this is where I would take an opportunity to introduce a quote from Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei about Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, where he says this in 2016, just recently, a few years ago, 6 years or 7 years ago. Imam Khamenei says about Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the oppressed, silenced, and passive image that has been fabricated of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam absolutely contradicts the reality of his character. Mm-hmm. Then he continues, he says, the real image of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is the image of a tireless, assertive, perseverant personality who knows the ways very precisely, choosing the right one, and he moves through them to obtain his goals. He does not become fatigued, he fatigues the enemies.
This is completely in the other direction. I mean,
exactly.
I've been raised going to majalis, and I've always heard of Imam Sajjad, and he's been presented as this person who's downtrodden. He's not doing really anything apart from mourning and crying and doing dua.
Imam Khamenei continues. The last sentence of this quote is, that was the outcome, and the enemy was finally defeated. Look how different this perception is from what we generally carry, right? I would say, if we were to understand who Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was and what he stood for, we need to understand his position in this whole divine movement of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. You look at the fact that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam continued the movement of the prophets of Allah and finally the messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the movement of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the movement of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. Now he's tasked with this responsibility to continue this movement, right? The question we should be asking ourselves is it possible for an infallible and immaculate personality like Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to deviate from that very movement? It's just not possible.
No, it's not possible.
So this means there's something we're missing. There's a piece of puzzle that we don't know about, or we have not been told about.
Can you explain to me So what was that movement?
So the movement, if you look at the, and it's a long discussion, right? Mm. We cannot go on such a wide tangent, but you look at the movement of Imam Ali alayhi salam, for instance. You look at the movement of Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. What were they thriving for? If we were to just summarize it, they were thriving for the betterment of the Islamic society, the establishment of the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this planet Earth, and the salvation of humanity, implementation of social justice in the Islamic society, and the salvation and the felicity of humanity in this world and the hereafter.
Yeah, and right? I would also add, with your permission actually, that in order to achieve those objectives, there was always a theme of resistance against the Taghut throughout the lifetime.
It's inevitable, right? Because yeah. when you tread on this path, there are going to be those powers mm. and authorities who are going to try to stop you. You know, they're going to try to become a hurdle. And you have to fight back. You have to resist. There's no other way, right? And this is what we see is a consistent theme throughout the lives of imams, all the imams and all the prophets, in different formats and in different shapes. Right. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is not an exception by any means. He's the continuation of that same movement. Mm-hmm. And he's tasked with that responsibility to carry this divine movement to the next level. So to say the least, he cannot be a person who's just sitting in a corner, na'udhu billah, who's just shedding tears, and that's it. Who's just praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's it. You know, saying these things about Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is like confining his services for Islam, his sacrifices for Islam. Right? He sacrificed so much, and we will talk about some of those sacrifices. He sacrificed so much for Islam, and if we say, oh, he was just, na'udhu billah again, sitting in a corner and crying and praying, that's doing injustice to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam.
Okay, but then what did Imam Sajjad do then? Like, I mean, that, okay, I can understand that conceptually, but do we have examples of how he did continue on that movement?
Yeah, so if you look at Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and the 35 years of his imamat, right? He was very precise, very calculated, and very carefully calibrated in his movement and in all the tasks that he carried out. I would say, to answer your question, that there are two movements that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was carrying forward as a responsibility. The first movement, you can call it to be an intellectual and academic movement. Ideological movement. The second one is a political movement. And we'll talk about it. But for now, just keep in mind that the first movement that we can say that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was running was this ideological movement. What is this ideological movement? He stood up against the deviations that were being introduced in Islamic circles, ideological deviations, mind you, where they were changing the mafahim and ma'arif of Islam. He stood up against that. It was an intellectual movement. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and again we will talk about how he did that, but Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he stood up against that and made sure that this ideological deviation does not take place.
Okay.
Keep in mind though, this ideological movement or academic movement of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, it was in the orientation of the political movement of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam.
Okay.
So it had a political orientation.
So you could say everything that he did had both these sides to it?
Both of these aspects to it, right? This political orientation is very important because sometimes, you know, our believers, they think that, oh, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was all about ma'arif and that's it. You know, those who have studied a bit, you know, they tend to think that, okay, he was running this, so to speak, academic or knowledge-based movement, but it was just, you know, confined to the ma'arif of Islam and the conceptual discussions and the conceptual talks and just, you know, something that is between our minds and, you know, between our understandings and that's it. No, it had a political orientation to it. Okay, so this is one thing. Then the second thing Imam Sajjad alayhi salam did in this ideological movement is to explain and promote the teachings and fiqh of Islam, and he protected Islam from deviations in both these fronts.
Okay. So you're going to bring examples for these things?
We'll talk about it. They'll come up, right? Mm-hmm. So for instance, you know, there are different ideas floating around. Banu Umayyah, what did they do? Banu Umayyah said that, okay, well, you know, we are the khulafa, the righteous khulafa, right? We are the continuation of that rule of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who established the first Islamic government, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, we are the ones who were kith and kin of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were close to him. You know, this is a deviation. Mm-hmm. They were alienating Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam said, no, let me introduce you. Who is the real vicegerent of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he made sure, through his tablighat, through his propagation of Islam, he defined the criteria of somebody who has the right to rule. Mm. Then, you know, there were discussions about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, how just Allah is, and whether he forces the human beings to, you know, the Jabr and the Ashaira and Mu'tazila, right? So there are different topics which are related to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are related to the divine concept of Tawheed that we carry, that pure Muhammadan Tawheed, right? So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam made sure that these concepts don't get hijacked. These concepts, they are not preached in a wrong way. You know, the overwhelming current doesn't take away the real essence of Islam. Mm-hmm. So this was Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's responsibility now, being the Imam of the Ummah, right? Okay. Then, you know, look at the rulers of that time, Banu Umayyah.
Banu Umayyah would include like the likes of Yazid and before him, Muawiyah.
After him too, right? It continued. After Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's shahada, the rule of Banu Umayyah continued, right? So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he had a tough and a difficult task in the given circumstances where the ruling party is ruling in the name of Islam. How do you really deal with them? How do you make sure that their corruption gets exposed at the same time Islam gets saved? Yeah. It's not an easy task, right? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was looking at how they're using Islam, and this is very important. They were using Islam, Banu Umayyah were using Islam to uproot Islam.
Wow, okay.
Now this is very difficult. If a disbeliever comes in and tries to, you know, uproot Islam, it's easier, comparatively easier to fight with them.
Because the people would know straight away that this person is a disbeliever, right. He's a kafir. But then munafiqeen, who pretend to be Muslim, they're real dangerous.
Yeah. Exactly. And then when you look at, you know, how they were trampling over the established principles of Islam in the name of Islam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam had a difficult task in front of him. How do we know today that Banu Umayyah were bad?
Yeah, that's a good
These
question.
Are the efforts of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, right? And the following Imams that came after. Because Imam Hussain alayhi salam has already been martyred in Karbala, right? And that's where it ends, Zahiran, right? So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is the one who made sure that everybody knows about their corruption and their facade.
So he was speaking out to people. He was out there in the public sphere. He was speaking.
Of course. So this was the first movement that we would say that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was running. Again, it's ideological, it's a ma'arif-based, it's a knowledge-based movement of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam with the political orientation. Mm-hmm. The second movement is very direct political movement. Okay. And sometimes it's amazing, you know, how sometimes some of the simple-minded believers, I would say, they take Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to prove that Islam has nothing to do with politics.
I kind of grew up with that.
Right? This is such an injustice to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, because if you look at the mubarazah of Imam alayhi salam and the fight and the resistance of Imam alayhi salam against Banu Umayyah, you would be surprised to see how many political maneuvers. And of course, when we are saying political, it's the Alawi politics.
It's not
the Banu Umayyah's politics,
right? It's not Machiavellian, kind of the Western perception of what politics is. It's not something evil. It's the politics of God. It's the politics of the prophets.
Right. Now, look at one of the things that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam did. He called for the revival of Prophet's Islam in the Islamic society. Mm-hmm. He's like, this Islam that the Prophet brought needs to be revived. Now, one can say, you know, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, you know, he knew that the rulers are corrupt. Mm. The rulers are someone who are trying to uproot Islam. Keep that whole context in mind. And now Imam alayhi salam is asking for the revival. Well, what do you revive? Something that is already dead.
Mm. Dead or dying, yeah.
So this is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam giving out a very clear message that Islam needs to be revived. This means that this Islam that the political apparatus of Banu Umayyah is running and implementing on people is not Islam.
Yeah.
This is a political move, right? Then Imam alayhi salam, he called for formation of the Islamic society governed based on Alawi principles, mm-hmm. the principles of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The government of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Mm. Again, this is a political demand. Mm. This is a political direction that Imam is going is giving to the believers and the public at large.
Mm-hmm.
Then Imam calls for the establishment of divine justice in the society. Again, divine justice has to do with people and the authorities.
Mm-hmm.
People and other people. People and the governmental apparatus.
Yeah.
So how can one claim that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was quote-unquote apolitical?
And of course, if the Imam is calling for justice, it means that there is injustice.
Exactly. This is a given, right? Then Imam alayhi salam, one of the very key things that Imam alayhi salam did was he challenged the rule and the right to rule over believers of Banu Umayyah. So he challenged Banu Umayyah the legitimacy of their right to rule.
How so?
So he raised the questions such as, what gives you the right to be the caliph after the Prophet?
Okay.
And then they had to go around and fabricate ahadith.
Mm-hmm.
They had to come up with false ahadith and they had to pay people to prove that, oh no, no, these are the rightful and justful caliphs after the Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Imam alayhi salam challenged their authority. In different ways. Again, you know, there are historical accounts that if we go into, it's going to be a very long discussion. And by the way, these topics that we're discussing right now, they're based on the speeches and two books of Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. One is Insan-e 250 Saleh, which is the 250-year-old man. And the second one is Hamrazman-e Hussein. And then also his speeches that are available on his official website, we can easily go and refer to him.
I just need to explain that, because the book is called 250-year-old man. It's not about a literal man who lived for 250 years. Rahbar, Imam Khamenei, he talks about the imams and all of the imams, the 11 imams, before Imam Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala. He speaks about all of them and their lifetimes as if they were one continuous human being for 250 years. But it's a brilliant book. If you do get a chance to read it, definitely it's a good read.
Now, because of all these activities and much more, right? We've provided you with some of the examples and some of the very clear, undeniable actions of Imam or the ikdamat of Imam alayhi salam. The apparatus, the governmental apparatus, and their agencies and their, you know, they were really vulnerable at that point that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is attacking them,
mm-hmm.
right? Politically speaking, it's like, so what do? They turn around, and this is very consistent with all of the imams, all of the infallible and immaculate imams, that they first put them under pressure, you know, sanctions and, you know, boycott and social boycott and this. And then, you know, having surveillance over them, putting them in house arrests, right? Throwing them sometimes, and I'm saying throwing them because it's from the enemy's perspective, in the dungeons, mm-hmm. and jail them for extended amounts of times, pressurize their relatives, use, you know, they had the tribal system at that time, use the tribal influence, right? Then, on the other hand, the unlimited amount of propaganda,
mm-hmm.
and lies that they were fabricate about the imams. Mm-hmm. All of this was going on as they saw Imam making the moves. The government from the other side, Banu Umayyah, they were doing all of these things. And finally, they martyr him.
Guys, sorry, Sheikh, I have to point this out for especially the youths out there. Dear brothers, dear sisters, These are our role models. And the Holy Quran itself says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةً حَسَنَةً. There is surely in the Prophet for you an excellent example, a good pattern for you to follow. We're supposed to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. When we see consistently that all of the Ahlul Bayt went through such trials and sufferings in the face of the tyrants of their time, it makes no sense to say that's the job of the Imam, but I shouldn't do anything today. No, we have to follow in those footsteps, recognize the tyrant of today, and endure the imprisonment, the character assassination, the poisoning, the evil politics that they use against us. Endure it, because that's what's going to grow us and help us to walk on that path.
Excellent. And if you know Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, the time period that he lived through, especially his Imama of 35 years, this was, according to many of our scholars, the worst time to be in terms of suffocation, undue pressure, political pressure, the enemies, the vulnerability of Ahlul Bayt.
That section in Divisto Panja Saleh is really interesting because Imam Khamenei paints a picture of what the background was, what the context was, and what was going through people's minds, what were the trends of that time. When you look at Imam Sajjad through that lens, with that kind of background understanding, it changes your perception of him, because it was really a horrible climate.
See, it was right after Ashura.
Ahsant, right.
And Ashura was something, like, you can say it was like flat out savagery. Mm. It was not a fight. It was not just a battle. It was not, sometimes we just say, it was just another battle that, Muslims and the believers fought against Munafiqeen and the Kuffar. No, it was savagery, what they did there. The chopping off of heads, and what was done with the women, what was done with the babies. So it was right after Karbala.
And then parading those heads. The heads of those amazing great personalities who the people recognized as the family of the Prophet. And so the climate was full of fear. It was full of terror. People were actually scared of going against the tyrant, saying anything against the tyrants, or saying anything against the police of that time. There was tremendous fear, but then as well as that, there was also this kind of deen zadegi, this kind of this is what the deen has brought us kind of thing. That attitude became prevalent among the people as well. They were like, what is this religion? What is this deen? Look at the savagery that it's brought. They didn't realize that it was the enemies of the deen who were bringing that. And so
They were camouflaged. They were just, hypocrites in wearing the garb of deen and garb of Islam and taking the name of Islam and praying in the on the land of Karbala while they're massacring the grandson and the imam of the time in Karbala. This is the height of hypocrisy one can ever see. So it was right after Karbala. It was right after the incident of Harra, which we don't have time to go into. Medina, Makkah, they were attacked by the forces of Yazid. Anyways, there are details, right? And it instilled fear in the hearts of the Muslims. Not just, the believers, the average Muslims were so scared that they knew that they don't have a breathing room. They just, propaganda of Banu Umayyah was at such a height that one cannot even imagine. The oppression of Marwan bin Hakam and Abdul Malik bin Marwan, it was to a point where they had sealed the lips of the believers and the people of conscience, the general public. And, it was to a point where it was hard for them to breathe. Now, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he has to carry those two movements that we talked about. Mm. It's a divine responsibility upon him. Under these circumstances, just imagine what Imam Sajjad alayhi salam had to go through. And we'll talk about how successful was he in doing what he was tasked to do.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I wanted to ask about Karbala itself. Now, during the event of Karbala itself, that tragedy, what was Imam Sajjad's role during it?
Well, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, of course, we all know that he was in the plains of Karbala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. We have all heard about that whole thing. And then Imam Sajjad alayhi salam traveled with the caravan. He was taken to the court and, you know, finally released, and he started to do the run the movement. Now, one of the things in context of Karbala and in context of Ashura that was of utmost importance was to keep it alive.
To keep the message of Karbala and what happened?
The memory of Karbala and hence the message of Karbala. Okay. The incident of Karbala in itself was a very important incident to have, that we had to keep it alive. Mm-hmm. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam knew this. He knew the importance of this incident and why it needs to be kept alive. This was a challenge. They didn't have media back in the day. We're talking to, you know, hundreds of people right now. There was no media. There were no newspapers. The followers of Ahlul Bayt, the Imam of the time, he didn't have any government. Mm-hmm. How does he carry out this job? And then on the other hand, the Muslims at large and the believers, they're scared. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, this is something I said in the beginning, right? He very calibrated, very calculated. He knew what the hadaf is. He knew what the target is. And he was aware of the enemy. And he carried out his responsibility in preserving Karbala. Mm-hmm. Today, millions of people know about Karbala because of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and Sayyidah Zainab salamu alayha. So this was, in context of Karbala, one of the most significant jobs that Imam had to carry out. It was a divine responsibility upon Imam to keep Ashura and Karbala alive. He made sure that Karbala remains in history. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And on the other hand, Banu Umayyah, they knew the crime that they had committed. They knew the magnitude of crime that they had committed. They wanted to be buried in the sands of Karbala, lost in the pages of history. So for that, they did propaganda, non-stop propaganda, right? They made sure that they fabricate lies, they make it mashkuk, as we say it, right? This whole incident of Karbala, they tried to make it, you know, doubtful and, you know, about the details of Karbala. Something they tried, you know, the predecessors of theirs, they tried in terms of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayha. But that's another topic for another day. Now, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam stood up against them. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam used every opportunity to remind people of the incident of Karbala. He kept it alive. During this lifespan of 35, or the imamate of Imam that lasted for 35 years, Imam made use of entire, and these are the words of Rahbar, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says, he made use of his entire divine and holy strength to carry out this heavy responsibility. What did Imam do? How did he do it? You know, something that we, you know, in Farsi we say that it's called Guftaman Sazi. In English, I couldn't really come up with a good term. I said setting the trend, right? In social media world today, we can say hashtag, you know, just making a famous or known hashtag that goes around, right? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, in the beginning of his movement, when he launched his movement right after the Shahadat of Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he had 4 to 5 supporters. That's it. Some history books have narrated 4, some have narrated 5. Proponents and supporters. And Rahbar has quoted this. And imagine starting a movement starting from 4 to 5 people, how do they spread the message of Karbala and Ashura throughout the world? It's right in front of us today, right? If you were present in that time and you were looking at Imam Sajjad alayhi salam with these 4 to 5 followers or 4 to 5 proponents and supporters, would you even in your dreams expect that this message of Karbala is going to reach nooks and corners in 2022? Like, Africa, you know, you name it, you know, from east to west, right? Ashura is there, Karbala is there. And who started the movement, who launched the movement, who preserved this movement of Ashura and Karbala? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, right? Today, countless people became familiar and believe in the ideology of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. This is amazing, right? This is all the work that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam do. Now, to your first question, that did he just sit in a corner of his house or masjid? and just pray and shed tears? Was that it? No, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam had a plan behind the shedding of those tears, because shedding tears for Abu Abdullah is ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he carried out that task. He taught us to shed tears. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is the one who taught us to shed tears. But those tears were with ma'rifah. Those tears had a direction, had a plan behind it. As Imam Khomeini says, that our tears are political. This is what he means when he says our tears are political. That we're not just going to sit in a corner and shed tears and go home, and shed more tears and come back to Masjid al-Husayniyah and shed more tears and go home. No, we have a plan. We have a plan to reach out to the entire world. Tell them what Banu Umayyah did. Tell them what the aggressors and oppressors are doing today. And unmask their face. Expose them. Expose their crimes. This is what Imam Sajjad alayhi salam taught us. This is what Imam Khomeini says, that our tears are political. You know, sometimes people get confused through these statements. It was very political. Today, alhamdulillah, you and I stand against Banu Umayyah. How? Why? We stand against Banu Abbas. It was the political movement of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that we know about their enemies, enemies of their time. And hence, you know, if we walk on their footsteps, this is exactly what our risalat is today, to expose the enemies of Islam and humanity in today's time. Through shedding of these tears, through these du'as, through our rituals, through our practices, through our speeches, through everything.
SubhanAllah. Sorry, I was just listening to it because it really is extraordinary. And it makes sense because look, whenever we are mourning for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein throughout the months of Muharram and after that as well, it's always meant to be a public thing. And when I was growing up in the West also, I noticed that a lot of the time it was not a public thing, it was a hidden thing. It was something that we did in closed rooms with black drapes, you know, kind of blocking out the sun, and you know, it was dark and stuff. But actually we're supposed, this is a political movement, and it's that political divine movement of the prophets and imams, and it's supposed to spread justice in the world.
Yeah, if you look at even, you know, the house programs, for instance, that take place in basements, you notice like at the minimum a few families get together. You know, like you said, it's a collective, because it's a movement, it has that collective spirit to it. You know, let's get together to do a latmiyah. Let's get together to do some chest beating. Let's get together to shed tears. You know, normally grown-ups don't cry in front of each other, right? It's very mayub, it's very... But for Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, we encourage and promote for people to get together and cry together. Shed those tears of basira. You know, enlighten that flame within yourselves, the flame of loving Abu Abdullah, loving Islam, loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of Abu Abdullah. Right? And this is something that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam turned it into a trend. As far as I know, you know, if you go back in history, I don't want to drag too much, you know, this point, and we should be going towards closure. If you go in the history, before Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, yes, there was mourning, you know, yes, there are different, you know, you see that Prophet announced this year of huzn and this year of mourning after Hazrat Abu Talib and Hazrat Khadija. But it was not institutionalized, so to speak. You know, and this is just something that randomly came to my mind. Up until the time of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam's imamah, this is where it became very rasmi, very institutionalized. Of course, it changed formats, and that's another topic and another discussion for another day. But it became institutionalized, you know. The followers of Ahlul Bayt, they took it as a responsibility on their shoulders to make sure that on the events of martyrdom and on the events of grief, you know, we mourn for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam. This was something that was reinstated properly and institutionalized by Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Right? See how far this perception is from that traditional perception where, you know, he was just and he's known as Bimar, right? Mm-hmm. He's known as somebody who was just ill, which he was ill for a few days in Karbala, but as the leader says, everybody gets ill, and you know, here and there. But we gave him that title, you know, based on what? Mm-hmm. Did Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam gave Imam Sajjad alayhi salam that title? Mm-hmm. No. So who came up with it, and why?
Why?
See, this is again
a discussion. It's a tangent, I know.
It's a discussion for another day.
Okay, well, one of the treasures that we have from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is obviously Sahifa Sajjadiyya, which is like an amazing book. And it really does just connect you to Allah. One of the misconceptions that people have about the book is that, look, this is just Imam Sajjad alayhi salam teaching us how to pray. But Imam Khomeini, I remember hearing from him once that he was saying, no, this is actually a shallow approach to Sahifa Sajjadiyya and these du'as generally speaking. This is truly how the Imams themselves genuinely connected to Allah. Well, my question is, look, this book of du'a, is it just a book of du'as or is there something else behind it?
Well, Sahifa Sajjadiyya, I would say that if it is not something greater than Nahjul Balagha, of Ali alayhi salam, it's nothing less than that either. Mm-hmm. It's at par with that, the book of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is comprised of his sermons and his letters, mm-hmm. and you know, the Kalamatul Kisar at the end. But it is at par with the sukhn and the talk of Imam Ali alayhi salam. The only difference is Imam Ali alayhi salam did the sermons and letters, and they were compiled by Sayyid Razi. In this case, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he gave it the format of a dua. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, if you look at Sahifa Sajjadiyya, there are three streams mm-hmm. in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, you know, at a very macro level. Different ulama and different scholars have classified Sahifa Sajjadiyya in different manners, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it. There are different classifications. The first stream is related to and pertaining to the Islamic beliefs and ma'arif. That's the first stream. Mm-hmm. The second stream is directed at self-building of human beings. Mm-hmm. And then the third stream is the establishment of an Islamic society governed by the divine principles. Okay. So these are the three streams, if you were to divide and classify the words of wisdom and love and passion of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the three classifications that we can look at. When we say the first stream, and I'll briefly touch up on each of them, so you know it's a little bit more than just the titles. The first stream, which has to do with the Islamic belief system, Islamic ma'arif, you know, this is where Imam Sajjad alayhi salam presents the pure Tawheed, Islamic Tawheed, mm-hmm. the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you know notice that first sermon of Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam, in Nahjul Balagha, the first sermon that he has, if you read the content of that, and then you compare the content mm-hmm. of that sermon to the du'as of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, you'll see what I'm talking about, them being at par. Some of the sentences are even same. Some of the sentences. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, it's in dua format, introducing that Islamic monotheism, mm-hmm. right? The pure tawheed. Nubuwwat, you know, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam showed us how important nubuwwat and prophethood was, and without prophethood, how the society and the Muslims, everybody would be so lost. Mm-hmm. Without these divine prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. It is all in those du'as. See how he's explaining the ma'arif of Islam, right? And explaining the belief system of Islam through du'as. Then imamat, you know, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, he talks about how the system of Allah's governance in this world is called imama, you know, Allah's hakimiyah and Allah's governance on the people. This is done and accomplished through imama. Mm. Who taught us that? Imam Sajjad alayhi salam through his du'as. Then ma'ad, the reality of ma'ad. You know, this is something we would never know about if our immaculate Imams would not have informed us about. Mm-hmm. And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam again did it through his du'as. Insan, the reality of insan, who a human being is, right? The principles of Islam, right? All of that is, you know, and much more. It's embedded within the du'as. Mm. You know, sometimes when we think about du'as, we think, oh, we're just going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a car or for a house or, you know, a job, you know, exams, right? I want my team to win in this World Cup, you know. Our understanding of du'as is very different than Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Those hajat, it's good to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of our shari'i hajat, but du'a is something very profound. Again, you know, we need time to discuss the reality and the concept of du'a itself. The second stream, before I take too much of the time, is the self-building of human beings, right? Rahbar says that knowing is different from practicing. You don't become a believer if you know of a concept of Islam.
Iblis knew that God exists, right? That Adam is his appointed khalifa.
It takes practicing your belief, right? So the first stream was the belief. The second one is where Imam shows us and tells us and educates us how to practice, right? This is also in Sayfiyya Sajadiyya when he talks about tawakkul, when he talks about taqwa, when he talks about refraining from haram, the importance of refraining from haram, when he talks about carrying out, as the leader calls it, difficult wajibat. He didn't just say wajibat, he said difficult wajibat. You know, this is all in Nahjul Balagha, in Sayfa Sajadiyya, right? And then connection of a human with his creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very profound, right? How do you achieve that and how do you hold on to that? The third stream, again, is the establishment of an Islamic society. A society that is based on the principles of Islam. And these things that we talked about and much more, it is practically implemented in that society. Right? This all comes from the du'as of Sayfa Sajadiyya, you know, where Imam talks about being unafraid and unthreatened and careless about any power other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is him calling towards a society which operates based on the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Then Imam says, you know, he calls towards, you know, asking for help and strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Help and strength to do what, right? These are all the building blocks of an Islamic society, right? That he's educating and teaching us through his du'as. Then, according to some of the experts, they have said, expert ulama, they have said that the messages in Sayfa Sajadiyya, they are the coded and encoded messages. And they need to be decoded. Back in the day when Imam alayhi salam, he recited those du'as, he was a lot of times under a lot of pressure, house arrest and, you know, spies. And so he would send these encoded messages to the believers out there who knew how to decode them. And again, this is a long but very beautiful discussion enough in itself.
Unfortunately, I wish we could go into it, but unfortunately we've run out of time. Were there any final thoughts that you had though?
Well, I think we've said enough, but whatever we say for this great and esteemed and immaculate Imam, I think it's less. You know, he has sacrificed all he had for Islam. So I don't have any thoughts of my own, so to speak, but I brought a statement, a quick statement from the leader of the Islamic Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. He says, the domineering and arrogant movement is trying to reverse the places of haq and batil via countless propaganda platforms. But just as Imam Sajjad alayhi salam and Lady Zainab salamullah alayha in Kufa and Sham with their revelatory sermons disgraced the Umayyads, likewise, today the platform of the movement of haq must spread the word of Islam and Islamic revolution with the strength of speech and break the insinuations and propaganda of the arrogant system of kufr. This is Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. So this essentially is calling us towards jihad-e-tabyeen, the jihad of clarification and explanation, which again,
inshallah, we need to discuss that another time. Dear viewers, we hope that you enjoyed and benefited from today's show. From myself and from Sheikh Ali Qumi, we bid you assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wherever you are.